We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. This is Monday, December 28th. It is the last Monday observations podcast of the season. It's championship week. We got one game left, Pats and Bills tonight. Chris, I know I was reading your observations article. You've got two teams that you still have stuff that you cared about, Stake League and NFFC. I was in three championship games, and I'm sweating all of them. And it makes you realize, when you're sweating it to this degree, it makes you realize every little thing that can tick you off when you need something down the rest of the way. For instance, last night, Tennessee and Green Bay, and you know, at the end of the game, the Titans, they have that four downs where they stall out in the Packers' red zone. They get to the 15, and Derrick Henry's not even on the field for those four plays. I don't have Henry, but I had Tannehill and A.J. Brown in two leagues, and I'm in a tight battle on both, and I need these guys to do something, and of course they don't hook up. And then the Packers have this seven-minute drive where they're running clock, and I was like, just score already, darn it. And I was like, and then
yeah.
They do score before the two-minute warning. I'm like, okay, well, at least they're going to get the ball, get something. No, they put in Woodside, downside, and no Brown or anything. They don't even try. Like, have some pride, man.
Yeah, it sucks. It's there's a lot of weird stuff. Like, I have CeeDee Lamb in the Stake League, and yesterday the Cowboys are running, and I have Jalen Hurts, and the Cowboys are running out the clock, and CeeDee Lamb decides to run for a 19-yard touchdown in garbage time, and then Jalen Hurts gets the ball back, and I love Jalen Reagor. Now, he didn't throw to Reagor, I don't think, on that final garbage drive. But it's like, if CeeDee Lamb just goes down, Dallas probably runs out the clock, and that's it. But instead, right. I get six, 8 points for that, basically, almost 8 points. And then Hurts gets a few short passes again. It really is like the crazy stuff. And the week before, remember, CeeDee Lamb got a onside kick return touchdown in garbage time against the Niners, too. Right. So, that's twice I've gotten something that I really shouldn't have gotten. And you just imagine, all the different permutations of what that does in all these different finals. So it is fantasy football is, there's no justice in it. It's there's a lot of that, but it is what it is. And the NFFC primetime league, so this I've gone over this team ad nauseum, so I'm not gonna go over it, but it just missed the playoffs. It was a good team. And so I was in the consolation round. I was in first in the consolation for a lot of yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And I finished fourth, okay? And there's still a game tomorrow, you know, tonight. And there's a couple teams that if, like, Stephon Diggs scored, like, you know, 20 points would pass me, which he might because Stephon Diggs, but against the Pats. But if they don't, then I'm fourth. And it's the consolation round, so you imagine it doesn't pay very deep. Yeah, it goes three deep, the pay. So third gets 1,500, fourth gets zero. And I'm in fourth, no players left. So that's the end of that.
Yeah, so, you get fired. You don't get the steak knife.
Yeah, well, I there should be a consolation of the consolation that I should be right in, that, you know, for week 17. But it just, you know, whatever. It just, there's always a story to it or this or that. But, you know, the team scored 178 points or whatever. But it wasn't enough. I knew I needed 200. I was like, all right, I probably need 200. And I came close. I had Alvin Kamara on Friday night. But, yeah, it wasn't quite enough.
Yeah, I mean, congrats. If you happen to get to the finals with Kamara, congrats on your championship. Although, I mean, there were some other
huge... Devontae Adams, you know, right, went crazy, and Mike Evans went crazy. There are a couple guys that, you know, were pretty big, but yeah, Kamara was just ridiculous. What do you have, six touchdowns or something the first time? He could have had seven or eight, by the way. There was a pass that he dropped that was thrown to him in the first quarter where the only drive they settled for a field goal. And then they went to Taysom Hill on one of the plays from, you know, the 2 yard line.
Right.
So he could have had eight. He really could have had eight touchdowns. I mean, yeah. I don't see why I didn't get eight. I would have won some money. I would have won probably, you know, I don't know if I would have taken first, but I would have won $2,000 for second.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like, you know, I whine and whinge and moan about, you know, that Tannehill not being in that last series or the Titans punting from the 32-yard line in their first drive. I mean, come on, guys. They got what they deserve for being so nutless for that. But still, then I was going up against Dalvin Cook. You know, Mike Boone got that short touchdown. Irv Smith got two short touchdown catches. Right. I mean, that game could have gone a lot of different ways. I could have been way behind, you know, after that. But, you know, so it's we always feel persecuted by fantasy football because of these little things. Like, this guy cost me or this coach cost me. You know, I have Josh Jacobs in that same league. That did cost me, but good grief. There's so many other little things that happened that probably benefited me. Like, you mentioned I have CeeDee Lamb in another championship game, and my opponent has Jalen Hurts. They don't have that BS fumble call. Then Hurts puts up more points. He got negative points for the fumble and then lost the opportunity to do anything, any more damage against me.
Yeah, there's so many things. You know, it's funny. I was bitching about that primetime where I had some bad quarterback luck. And then I heard Dalton Del Don's problems. Not only did he have, you know, the Rays to win the World Series at 20-1 to win like $20,000, and he had the Niners to win the Super Bowl to win like $20,000. And, you know, barely hedged it. It was hedged with me. I gave $1,200. That was all he got for that bet. And not only, that's two giant ones, but he was in first place, likely to win like the Silver Bullet or one of those big NFFCs. And he had Clyde Edwards-Helaire going the night where he was active but just didn't play. And then Antonio Gibson the Monday night where he hurt his toe on the first play of the game that was out. And that, because of that, he didn't win. So, everybody's got a story. You either win or you have a story. The story is entertaining for a minute. It's not as good as the win. But just, yeah, rest assured, everybody who didn't win, there's something that happened like that that shouldn't have happened or could have gone the other way. But, yeah, it's football. And the truth is, like, most leagues are won or lost on that kind of stuff. Like, it's just like football games, right? Like, some years there's, like, the 85 Bears, and they win the Super Bowl. And there was no coulda, woulda, shouldas. They just won the Super Bowl, and they crushed everybody in their path. And it doesn't really matter. You could reverse any single play, and it wouldn't have made any difference. And there's most years, or at least a lot of years, is just one of those things where Scott Norwood misses the kick a little bit, or that one whole season where it ended up with Russell Wilson throwing the pick in the Super Bowl, but the game before the Packers had the Seahawks dead to rights and Mike McCarthy totally just nutless monkeyed the game away completely. But that the Packers might not have even been there but for calling the Dez Bryant catch a non-catch. And the Cowboys might not have been there but for some BS fumble call against, I think it was the Lions, I want to say, in the first round.
Right, I remember Stafford that.
And Calvin Johnson. So every team that advanced, it was on some kind of thing. And that happens a lot. It happens in fantasy where it happens in Survivor. You know, once in a while you get an 85 Bears thing where it's like it's a no doubter. You won. You won. You led wire to wire. You crushed everybody in the playoffs by 30 points. That happens, but that is not – to me, that's not the rule. That's the exception.
Yeah. There's a reason why most point spreads are like three. You know, it's on small – and that why that's such a magic number when we're wagering and things like that. Yeah, it happens all the time. And then same is true with our fantasy leagues. I mean, just look at the Raiders-Dolphins game. You know, bizarre finish there and how that game turned so many different times.
That game, I mean, that was the craziest thing. So on first down, Josh Jacobs runs it to the one-yard line. Yeah, again, if you have Josh Jacobs, stops. But wisely, because they got to run, you know, three more plays. But on third down, they knelt on it. And they easily could have gone for the touchdown because they score there. It's worth it on third down after running two more plays. But they don't even think to do it. They kneel on it. Okay, fine.
Run it on fourth down. I mean, just run it. Yeah, get your extra play.
They were losing.
That's right. They were losing. That's right.
So they had to kick the field goal
because of the missed extra point. Yeah, that's right.
Because of a missed extra point, right? But because of that, they had to kick the field goal to win. But okay, fine. They've got the field goal, and the Dolphins were letting them score, and Josh Jacobs realized it and stopped at the one on first down. So now it's second and goal, and you run more clock. And then they knelt on second down. Great, run more clock. But on third and goal from the one or the two, wherever they were, they should have tried to score because now it's a touchdown, and the Dolphins would have needed a full touchdown, and you still would have run, you know, all that clock off.
Right.
But instead, they kneel on third, get it down even further, kick the field goal, they're up two. But now the Dolphins only need a field goal. So,
yeah.
You know, it just they blow a coverage somehow in that situation, but they get a face mask on the QB at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's 15 added to the, you know, penalty. And then Sanders kicks an easy field goal to win the game. But that is just, I mean, it really was karma for that win against the Jets, where the Jets were, it looked like they were tanking.
Right.
And that's a whole other story about the Jets. It's just an insane turn of events with the Jets.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, there is some bizarro things. I mean, the Browns getting those four receivers on the COVID list, all because they were close contacts. They personally didn't test positive, but because of close contact rules, they had to because they were all in the same hot tub with an infected player. Which
were they really in a hot tub?
Yes, they were. That's the hot tub
is really the thing with Cleveland. I mean, how much? I mean, don't you think if you're the Browns, you just get rid of the hot tub? I mean, it's caused so many problems, you know, over the years. I mean. And, you know, honestly,
single use hot tubs. You use it once, you dispose of it, you have to have a new one. No more. Because they've had staph infections from that damn thing. I mean, it's amazing.
It's like COVID's the least of your worries when you get in that hot tub in Cleveland. I wouldn't get in that thing.
I know.
On a bet. But so anyway, so the Jets somehow, right? They're 0-13. They have, you know, by all metrics, one of the worst teams of all time through 13 games, if not the single worst NFL team of all time, or at least in modern era. And they beat two playoff teams. Now, the Rams may not make the playoffs. We can talk about that.
The Browns might not make it either.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought the Browns were kind of in.
I'm pretty sure they have to. I think they have to beat the Steelers. Or other people have to lose.
With Tennessee and Indy losing, they're still not in. I have permutations up somewhere. I'll look at it.
Yeah, looking it up, too, while we talk. But
the Jets, you know, basically beat two playoff, you know, qualifying teams, but for their loss to the Jets, let's say.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. And it just shows these teams are not particles, they're waves. Like the Jets, obviously the Jets aren't like some great team now, but they are not the team that was 0-13, worst of all time. They're just a garden variety, below average team now. If the Jets and Giants played on a neutral field, I mean, the line would be 3 at most, maybe 1, maybe 0. I mean, it's so fast how this changes. You know, they win two games, and obviously, as you said, Cleveland was missing some key players. Why doesn't Cleveland run the ball? I don't understand why Cleveland puts the ball in Baker Mayfield's hands so much and doesn't just let Nick Chubb have 30 carries.
I don't know either. No idea. They're being too tricky, I guess. But, you know, and I got to rewatch that game. It was not my primary game, obviously, yesterday. So I was paying less attention to that than I was to others. But by the way, here's the deal. Right now, the Browns are the seventh seed. They are the last team in. They have a 53% chance to make it. They need to clinch. They could have clinched with a win. Instead, they have the head-to-head tiebreaker against the Colts. So if they, you know, they win, they're in. If the Colts lose, they're in. But if the Colts win and they lose,
Colts are playing Jacksonville. So
yeah,
Colts are going to win.
And Cleveland's playing Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh's also clinched the division. So, yeah, I don't know what how hard Pittsburgh's going to try. Can you know how much do they care about seeding at this point? Because the Chiefs clinched first in the AFC also.
So the Ravens might be screwed then, right? Because if Cleveland wins against Pittsburgh,
no, Ravens are in. Ravens are the sixth seed. The Colts are the team that you know that is on the outside looking in right now.
Okay, I'm in the ESPN tool right now, so I'm looking at this. So Colts win, Browns win, and Ravens. Who do the Ravens play this week?
Bengals at Cincy.
Okay, so and Ravens win. Let me put all those in. Oh, here we go. So Ravens. No, the Ravens have to win though. If they lose, they're not in.
Yeah, they do need to win. They should win. They also get in if the Browns or Colts lose.
Okay, so they need to win or have either team lose. So the Colts are screwed, right? If everybody yeah. – no, no.
The Colts are on the outside looking in. They need somebody to lose and they need while they take care of business.
Okay, but also the Dolphins. Do the Dolphins need to win to get in? Let's say the Bills beat the Dolphins. And the Dolphins are out. If everybody else wins, but the Dolphins lose at Buffalo,
then the Dolphins are out.
Yeah, so that's another team. So the Dolphins have to win at Buffalo. Now the question is, since the Bills have the number one seed locked up, how much does Buffalo care about this game?
That's right. I mean, how much? I think both Pittsburgh and Buffalo would rather play at home for that second round game, right? Because right now the Steelers are still the two seed and the Bills are the three. Even though, at least look at what I'm looking at ESPN, unlike the seedings.
It's only because the Bills hasn't played tonight.
Yeah, you're right. So when the Bills win, if the Bills win tonight, then they'll be back as the two seed. Yeah, that's right.
So, all right. But the thing is, you know, Buffalo, I'm looking at this, if they all win, then – the Dolphins are if the Bills win, I guess I had it. Bills if the Bills win and the Dolphins are out, the Bills end up playing Tennessee at home, and Pittsburgh gets Cleveland. I'd rather face Cleveland than Tennessee personally.
Oh yeah,
I don't know if that comes into it. They probably don't think about that because it's too.
Although Tennessee's defense is so bad right now.
Oh, they're really bad. They're terrible,
and they can't get any pass rush whatsoever.
They haven't been able to get a pass rush for weeks. I mean, yeah, that's just been
they don't tackle all that well. They're a mess. They're really a mess. And then, you know, as much as Vrabel does some smart things, he does some really dumb things. That punt from the 32-yard line, Chris, that's inexcusable. You don't trust your kicker. Then just go for it. You're only gaining 12 yards anyhow if you punt.
What was the down and distance? Like fourth and
seven from the 32.
That's it? Fourth and seven and they punted?
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
It was totally nutless.
I don't know what happened, but I have my my NFL game pass sets that don't show the scores, but for some reason it showed the score and I saw it was 40-14 and I had the Tennessee plus 3.5. So I was just like, I watched the game, but
you
I was
cruised
like,
through yeah. it.
So I was not as into it because I knew the result. So I didn't notice that they punted on,
Collinsworth and Michaels made barely any mention of that. In fact, you know, so on the ensuing series, Tennessee has them stopped. And then they get a running into the kicker or something like that that continues the drive. And, of course, the Packers go down and score. And they go on and on about that penalty. But they don't say a damn thing about the punt from the 32, which is just like, that's such a bad decision. Especially, you know yourself. You know you have a bad defense. The Packers just moved it so easily against you very first series.
The Packers' offense is great. Their defense sucks, too. That is a go-for-it game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a game where, like, you just don't punt. It's just one of those games where, well, you can't kick a field goal. And punting, I mean, you kick a short field goal. But, yeah, you just don't really punt in that situation. You just go for it the whole time. And if you're in a game between ridiculously, you know, if it's the Rams versus the Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger's arm, we can talk about the Colts-Steelers game, too, which was interesting. You know, then you might punt quite a lot, you know, because you'd be like, okay. That's beyond inexcusable on the road. And they're already losing, right? They're already down 7-0 at that point, or 6-0.
Right. They are down 6-0. And yeah, and you just know, like, the Packers moved it so easily against your defense, which has been giving up points every single week. It's a bad defense. I mean, it's just so bad. So bad. I don't know. I get really frustrated with that one there. Because, and I understand, there are the go for it, you know, fans out there. And then there's Ted Bell pushing back the opposite way, like always rooting for the punts and kicks. But I get it. There, you know, there are people that, I mean, that reflexively want to go for it every single time. But this was an obvious situation.
Yeah. I mean, there's also like, there's like a base rate where, you know, that you can use some sort of model to figure out when you should go for it and when you should kick field goals or punt. And they'll come up with their sort of their base rate, their base case of when, you know, obviously if you're fourth and 15 from your own 15 yard line, no model is going to say go for it. You know, they're going to say punt, and just, you know, unless you're like down 17 with 5 minutes left. But there's like a base rate, and that base rate is not always right. And I agree that people who are just slaves to the base rate in situations like that don't necessarily take into account, you know, the opposing defense, opposing offense, things like that. It's not, those bots don't know everything. The bot, you know, the New York Times had a bot,
right?
That was like a field goal bot, and New York Times, one of the discrediting itself at every turn. But that thing was like, you know, it was a rough base rate for when you should probably do it. And there's individual things in games that, you know, that are particular to that game and those teams that sometimes the zealots don't take into account. But for the most part, you better have a good reason. And this one, obviously, yeah, as you said, this is obvious. There's not a good reason in that situation.
Yeah, all the indicators were pointing in the opposite direction, that you needed it pointing towards going for it even more.
Good offenses, you're losing, you're an underdog, you're on the road. Everything was pointing that way.
Right. Before we talk Colts-Steelers, I want to talk about that. Got a quick note. Sports bettors know that magic happens when you turn a hunch into action and apply the right amount of expertise. That's why BetMGM has teamed up with RotoWire to offer new BetMGM customers a free 6-month RotoWire subscription when they place their first bet. Register on the BetMGM app or website and use promo code ROTO, that's R-O-T-O, to claim your free subscription. Once you make your first sports wager, you'll receive a season's length of RotoWire's unmatched sports insights. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks by signing up and placing your first bet today. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager, Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, and 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. In Tennessee, call or text the Red Line at 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. All right, Chris. What a turnaround in Pittsburgh Indy. I mean, Indy was killing them in the first half. It was 21-7. They get a field goal to start the second half. It's 24-7. And what happened?
A couple things happened. First off, Pittsburgh's defense played better. Philip Rivers struggles against good defenses. He made some good throws in the first half. The touchdown to Pascal was a nice throw. And it had some pressure, and he kind of stepped up. I mean, they blocked, but he took a hit, made a nice throw. But in the second half, he was having the Steelers kind of shut it down. I think the Colts went away from Jonathan Taylor too early.
I agree.
Again, another thing that happened that would have gotten, you know, that money. They just kept using Nyheim Hines and not pounding it with the guy who has been running really well the last few weeks. And then Rivers, when they finally did catch up, when the Steelers finally caught up, despite still not being able to run the ball, James Conner made a lot of good catches and runs after the catch to get first downs. They just kind of stopped making errors and completing a lot of the short stuff and strung together some drives. Rivers on first and 10, I think it was on the 47-yard line, his own 47. They'd gotten from like their own 30 to the 47. There was 6 minutes left. They're down 4 after the Steelers caught up. Just throws a horrible pick on first and 10, overthrows everybody, goes right into Mike Hilton's hands, catches it. You know, and so that's, you know, one of their two drives that they have left in the game. They, you know, still had to go 4 and out in the final drive for the Steelers to win. But on 3rd and 10, that would have been fine, that throw. It was a stupid throw. It was way too far. Nobody was open. But on 3rd and 10, you're like, all right, we're you know, probably going to have to either punt or go for a 4th and very long. And, you know, maybe that's it. So fine, take a big chance. On 1st and 10, do your dink and dunk. There's 6 minutes left. You're at midfield. You're down 4. You know, be a caretaker. Hand it off to Jonathan Taylor. Hand it off to Nyheim Hines if you want. Throw it to, you know, Trey Burton. Who cares?
Right.
But to throw downfield in that situation where no one's there, that's classic Rivers. Rivers does not have the caretaker mentality. he's on a team with a good defense, a great offensive line, a great running game, lots of, you know, tight ends, running backs, short pass catchers. Just be Alex Smith without the mobility. Just make the short throws. You know, Rivers can read the pre-snap stuff. He can go to the right guy. He can lead the guy. He has touch on those short passes to backs. Do not be Brett Favre. This is not the team to do it on. And you don't have the skills to do it anymore. You don't have the arm to do it. You don't have the mobility to do it. And I just think that team, they may not make the playoffs now. And it's a bit, you know, it's just, it's Rivers. And he's done this with the Chargers for so many years, like the soul-crushing pick.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, I had someone that said, you know, tweeted at me because I go, Philip Rivers, that is the tweet after I think his that bad interception at the end. And someone says, well, he's had a better career. People don't realize he's had a better career than Eli. Okay, if you're looking at accumulated stats, maybe, but, you know, key moments, no way.
Yeah, right. And that's the argument, right? I mean, and again, like, it's the stats guys versus the watch football guys. And I do think that we settle championships in football based on postseason success. And it sucked. You had Peyton Manning and Tom Brady in his conference, Bill Belichick for a long time. But Roethlisberger's got two rings. Yeah, it's not like
Eli has two rings. I mean, yeah. the two quarterbacks in his class in that same draft, in that first round, both have two rings apiece.
Right, but in the AFC, you had Brady, peak Brady and Manning for most of his career, and then Roethlisberger and the Steelers. So that was tough. And then you had the Ravens and Harbaugh in there. It was tough. But the thing is, to make the Hall of Fame, you need to be one of those guys, one of those teams that everyone's like, oh, you had Rivers in your conference?
Right.
Well, no wonder you didn't win any Super Bowls. If you're not even mentioned in the top three, you know, then you don't belong. I mean, Flacco won a Super Bowl. You know, I mean, Flacco won a Super Bowl.
Right.
Roethlisberger's won two. It wasn't impossible. It wasn't, you know, oh, Brady and Manning. Yeah, there's other – Rivers played a long time, and he never even got to the Super Bowl, right? I think he got to, like, one AFC title game. And it's not just that, okay? You could be screwed by circumstance. Deshaun Watson, they have a worse record than the Bengals now, the Texans. They're 4-11. But Deshaun Watson has 30 touchdowns, 6 picks, 8.8 YPA, and 430 rushing yards and 4 rushing touchdowns. Those are MVP numbers in any year. I mean, those clear MVP numbers, but his team's 4-11. Sometimes you can get, you know, Bill O'Brien. You can be a great player on a bad team. But for 16 years, and how many of those Chargers implosions were Rivers himself doing the thing that you just can't do?
Right.
Throwing the pick, fumbling the ball, you know, fumbling a snap, something horrible that you're like, no, how did that happen? I had the Chargers and I was getting 3. How did that happen? I had it 1. I just don't think that can be your legacy. And then he's going to make the Hall of Fame because everybody does who's popular and, you know, puts up career stats, but he shouldn't. And I don't think Eli should either, because Eli was never a top 5 QB, or maybe he was for a minute at his very peak, just the 5th best. But Eli won 2 Super Bowls and stepped up big in those games, did the opposite of pulling a Rivers. He made the throws in improbable circumstances. I would put Eli in ahead of Rivers, but I would have them both out.
I tend to agree with your conclusion there. I don't get too invested in Hall of Fame discussions for football. It's funny. I do care about like baseball ones. Football, it's always this smoky room, you know, backroom stuff and all that. And like, you know, when Terrell Owens has to wait, I'm like, okay, I stopped. I don't care. I'm like, no, I do care, obviously, a little bit because I brought it up as an example. So clearly I do care. I'm like one of those guys online. I don't care about your thing, so I'm going to tweet about not caring about your thing. But I get animated about the Baseball Hall of Fame. I don't about the Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't really care for either, but you're right. I'm like you. I'll argue it just out of merit. But, you know, in the end, it's just a bunch of people deciding. It's not, you know, everything's on the field. And there is first of all, it's just a fiction, but there is a true Hall of Fame, you know, in my mind. Like the great, there are great players. It doesn't matter whether we put them in a box or this box. There's the greatest players, and people will always argue about who those are. And yeah, obviously Terrell Owens was one of them. But to me, equally obvious, Philip Rivers is not one of them. He's not one of the guys you feared. You never feared Rivers. I mean, I think that's a simple thing. You know, I'm like, well, yeah, he did have Brady and Manning in his conference. To be in the Hall of Fame as a QB, someone should be saying, well, Yeah, they didn't win. You know, Carson Palmer didn't win any Super Bowls with the Bengals, but he had Rivers in his conference, so you know that can be forgiven. You would never even consider bringing up Rivers in that context, you know, and that for the quarterback should be a thing.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, especially because you know credit and blame tends to hew towards the quarterback. You know,
right.
MVP discussions, Super Bowl MVP discussions, you know. You're the quarterback on a winning team, you get Super Bowl MVP a lot of the times, and that's the way it is. So with the coming up short also comes, that's the way it is. That's the blame.
So question for you. See, people are saying Rodgers got the MVP. Now Rodgers has, I think 44 touchdowns and five picks or something like that. Five picks, 45 and five. Still got 8.1 YPA. When he won it in 2011, he had 46-6. And he had 9.2 YPA. So he was way more efficient, but that was one of the greatest QB seasons of all time in 2011. And they were also 15-1.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Packers, they play at Chicago next week, and the Bears win and they're in. So the Bears, this is like a very solid Bears team now.
Right.
This is like a pick 'em to me. You know, we'll guess the lines tomorrow. But like, to me, this is not like an easy game at all at Chicago. And if they lose this game, which they might, the Chiefs have already clinched the number one seed. Doesn't matter. They're 14-1. So, to me, if they don't get the number one seed, I think Mahomes should probably win it. But if they get the number one seed, go ahead and give it to Rodgers. They both got the number one seed, and Rodgers' stats are a little better. And you know, Mahomes. I mean, this is kind of a dumb consideration, but he may win four more.
Right.
Rodgers is probably it. So that's where I stand. Do you think Rodgers is going to win it if the Packers don't get the number one seed?
He might. He could. Seems like Mahomes has a good chance to be the Mike Trout of baseball. Mike Trout of football.
Right.
You know, everyone knows he's the best player, but he's not always going to win the MVP.
Right, because they're like, oh, well, this guy's old, or this guy
had a better year by these stats here.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think maybe. But I think if you're – I don't know. I mean – if you're the number one seed and you have Rodgers stats, okay. But how do you, you know, if Rodgers doesn't beat the Bears in week 17 and the Packers, are, you know, they don't have a home field and then they end up losing in the playoffs, it's like, you know, there's not just the quarterback on the team, but.
Right.
Sorry. And the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. You're like, well, probably should have given it to the guy whose team was the best all year. Than the guy who led them to a number two seed or number three seed. So anyway, people, I've been on my Twitter feed. It was like, oh, Rodgers, like the overwhelming favorite,
but there's a lot of recency bias in that conclusion, you know, too. I mean, Mahomes had a bad game yesterday. It's not much way of getting around that. He played pretty poorly against the Falcons.
They should have had a pick. I think when they got the go ahead touchdown, they should have had a pick. He threw it right to the guy. He dropped it.
Right.
And then he got another chance and, got a touchdown.
Got the touchdown right after that. And by the way, you know, I understand he was fighting for his players, and you know, getting that interception was huge. But the challenge on that was horrible. There is no way they were going to overturn that call. And the Falcons could have used the extra time on that subsequent drive.
Yeah, I made the joke that it works better in print because Young Wei, isn't that is Young Wei Koo, is in print. It's Young Ho.
Yeah, right? I know. You've made all the Young Ho jokes, and yet you found another one in your observations column.
I did. Not since Tyrion Lannister. No one's been betrayed by a Young Ho that badly since Tyrion Lannister in Game of Thrones. I hope that's not too soon. I hope that's not a spoiler for anybody. But, it was it was a short kick, and he's been amazing all year. I don't know what happened. He just botched it. Not that it mattered. It's not like Atlanta's.
Yeah, I was wondering, was that wind? Because, I mean, it's sliced pretty dramatically, and sometimes the wind will do that, but I don't know. I mean, I was like, oh, he's automatic now. He's been so good this year. That's the thing that's frustrating. It's not like he's been, you know, Blaking it all over the place there or anything like that, or being Badgley. No, he's been so good.
Well, one thing I like is that I just spaced what I was going to say. I had a brilliant point, and I just
One of your best. Spaced.
Anyway, go ahead. It'll come back to me. Keep going.
And there's not much more else to say. Except, you know.
Oh, this is what it was. Is that I was, you know, at that point I think I was first in the consolation thing, and I'm like, I don't want this game going to overtime. You know, I don't want him to kick that field goal. People have Calvin Ridley. People have all those Chiefs, Kelsey, whoever. obviously, like, probably most of those people were in the actual championship bracket. But I'm like, you know, somebody who's doing well has those guys.
Right.
And then when he missed it, I was like, this is amazing. First of all, someone has him. So that's, you know, 3 points for him. But there was, you know, that saved a lot of fantasy points. You talk about, like, fantasy championships.
Oh, I know.
Lost. That guy not sending that game to overtime with the amount of fantasy players in that game was huge.
Yeah. In fact, in one of my championship games, I was up against Kelce, Ridley, Gage, and Matt Ryan. So that miss was massive.
Right. Almost certainly they would have put up more points if he makes that. So,
right.
Yeah.
So when I go back to Tannehill not getting that last drive, yeah. I got to remember, Younghoe Koo missed that field goal, which, you know, that was massive for me. Huge, huge. And so you got to remember that. But then again, Josh Jacobs not getting that touchdown at the end was massive for him. I had Jacobs.
Right.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff.
And I had CeeDee Lamb on my bench in that league, of course, you know, because my receivers are – Adams, A.J. Brown, and someone else really good. Point is, like, you know, you had, like, it wasn't even a consideration. I'm starting Dobbins over him. I'm starting Jacobs over him. I'm starting Jonathan Taylor over him. He was never going to be a guy that was in my lineup. But still, and Metcalf, duh. That's who I also had. Right. You know, I'm not starting CeeDee Lamb over DK Metcalf.
Yeah. Real man would have.
Real man would have because, Jalen Ramsey, yeah. But, you know, Metcalf actually was okay.
That wasn't it either. It wasn't Ramsey. It was just the Seahawks. I mean, that was such an under game. I mean, that game, first of all, Jared Goff, he may have broken his thumb. So the Rams are going to be underdogs probably this week if Goff can't play. I forget the name. I just wrote down their backup for my article, and I forget his name again. It's some guy you've never heard of who's like 25 years old.
Yeah, some guy from Wake Forest, Wolford or something.
Yeah, exactly.
John Wolford. So
John Wolford would be starting for them.
And Arizona has something to play for too. So that game matters.
Oh, totally. I mean, the Rams will be underdogs if Wolford's the starter for sure. And you know, the Bears are in good shape. You know, they've got a good chance. I think if the Bears lose, I think Arizona and the Rams can both make it. They can actually both make it depending on which one wins if the Bears lose. And then if the Bears win, obviously just the winner makes it. But yeah. That was a terrible game. And the Seahawks defense is suddenly, like, at least not bad anymore.
Right.
It's so weird. I mean, they were the worst defense in NFL history against the pass. And now they're not that bad. But the Rams offense, nobody can make a play. They just don't have anyone who can make a big play. It's all dink and dunk. Goff tries to scramble. He is so slow. I can't believe a guy as young as him is that slow when you watch him play.
Yeah. And Henderson got banged up in this game too. That's why we saw a lot of Malcolm Brown late in this game, which is frustrating. And they're already down Cam Akers. I bet you Akers doesn't play this week too. When he gets declared out early in the week last week with that high ankle sprain, it's rare that he's going to come back the next week too, unless he just magically heals. High ankle sprains just take a while. Akers was a playmaker, you know, and Henderson at least had a chance. Malcolm Brown doesn't have a chance to be that guy.
Yeah, they don't have much. Kupp is, like, you know, shifty and quick.
Right.
But none of those guys are, like, game breakers, and Goff is so average. I mean, this is not a good team. I don't want to see them in the playoffs. I don't really think they have much ceiling. I know their defense is good, but these days, you and I have talked about this, that you just can't play the kind of defense that you could have, you know, 20 years ago, where the defense could just dominate for three games, where you could just destroy quarterbacks, take people out, crush receivers over the middle, and then just win a Super Bowl because of your defense. I guess Denver did it that Peyton Manning year in 2015. It was the last time a defense really just kind of dominated its way through, you know, where they didn't really have much offense. But
which is ironic because Seattle did it to them before. You know, it's like
2 years before. But they were still good. They still had Russell Wilson.
Right.
It wasn't just the defense. They had a great defense, an all-time defense. But I don't know if these days it's even possible to field a defense like that. Obviously, it's still possible. It still matters. But the Rams defense is, I don't think, is even close to that. So I don't want to even see them in the playoffs. I'd rather see Kyler Murray running around, or, you know, even the Bears, who are, they're kind of like the Rams now. You know, they're mostly defense. But
by the way, Arizona might not have Kyler Murray for that matter.
All right. He got hurt late in the game. I heard
the very last play, he got hurt. You know, so it could be backup quarterback versus backup quarterback. Could be really ugly.
I heard the Murray injury wasn't serious, but a lot of times they say, yeah, it's not serious. Like, it's not career threatening. Oh, but he'll miss 3 weeks. Like,
yeah, he won't be amputated, but, you know. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. By the way, Arizona. Oh, Cliff Kingsbury is terrible, too. He's another bottom five coach. He's one of the 20 bottom five coaches out there.
Yeah, I can't remember the decisions in that game, but I saw that. I was the Lions game. I had the Lions. I made that line Tampa -3.5 or something like that. And then it was like 8.5. I'm like, wow, what am I missing? All right, I guess I'll take the Lions, even though I'm a little nervous because I must be missing something. You know, Matthew Stafford's playing. You know, what's the, you know, it's like Tampa, you know, barely beat Atlanta the week before at home. Now they're on the road. Stafford's playing. Okay. So 8.5. Then it goes up to like 9.5. Then all of the Lions coaches get COVID. I'm like, okay, I guess that's bad, but they can still game plan, you know, and send it in and run it. It's not like it's rocket science, the down and distance or play calling. And then the line goes up to like 12 before game time. I'm like, what's going on here? And then Stafford gets hurt on like the, you know, the first quarter. And I had Marvin Jones in the stake league too, you know, so I was bad, but
yeah.
And then it was like Detroit. Why do they should have just forfeited the game. I mean, why would you even go out there and play like that? I've never seen a team. I thought the Vikings defense was bad on Friday, but I've never seen a team just put up no resistance. And then the announcers in that game were going on like they were just like cheering the Bucks so hard, like, yeah, and Brady, look how amazing this is. And they're doing this stuff. And I'm like, dude, what are you even talking about? Do you see what's going on in this game? Like, these guys were so stupid, those two announcers.
Yeah, well, everyone was kissing up to Brady, of course, but, you know.
They were like trying to analyze the game, like the Lions were the 2000 Ravens or something. They're like,
yeah.
Oh, man, it's all working now. Look at how they're executing. I'm like, the other team's not even trying. Yeah. The other team's not even – it's not even like they're playing the team. It was a weird game.
I mean, what your sign is that Brady didn't play a single snap in the second half. The Bucks realized the Lions weren't even trying. Yeah.
When do you bench your starting quarterback when the playoffs are on the line in the start of the third quarter? I mean, it just
and, you know, in one of my Super Bowls, I'm going against Brady. I was like, okay, great. If you would have told me, oh, Brady will only be able to play a half in this game, I'm like, sign me up. All right. And then it's 350 yards in a half. I mean, it was ridiculous. It's crazy.
Yeah,
I mean,
they should have got him some records. They should have let him try to go get 700 yards or something. You know, why not? If the Lions are going to field that team, take advantage. You know, get in the record books.
This is embarrassing. This is embarrassing. Even for, you know, for the Lions, even that was, it was that bad. I mean, that was, they've got 5 wins somehow too. That's the thing that's crazy. What are you going to write on for East Coast offense this week?
I'm going to grade my preseason predictions. That's what I do week 17 every year.
Oh, nice.
And one of them, I said Van Jefferson will outscore Justin Jefferson.
Oop.
And and the thing that's funny about that is in the preseason, like, Justin Jefferson was like the third or fourth receiver. Like, Ola BC Johnson was running with the first team.
That's a savage decision.
Right. It was. And so, and Van Jefferson, they were just talking. He was the talk of the camp. It was like, oh, this guy's awesome.
And he was okay in week one, too. He actually made some plays in week one.
Well, it was weird because he was a second round pick, and yet he was injured, you know, in the combine. So I think he didn't run in the combine. And I started thinking, look how good he is in camp. And the fact that they took him that high, even though, you know, he didn't like do anything in the combine. He wasn't like one of those prospects everyone was talking about. I'm like, they must know something. He must be really good, this guy.
Yeah.
He must just be like one of those guys. Like, everyone talked about Deontay Johnson for a while. Like, oh, this guy's really good. Everyone's like, you know, even though like the evidence was, okay, well, he was like Deontay Johnson was like a fourth round pick or something. It's like, really? He's that good? And I see what they saw in Deontay Johnson. He's super quick. But with Van Jefferson, I was like, oh, it must be because they know something. And now he's killing in camp. This is one of those like real deal guys that just shows up and never looks back. And Justin Jefferson wasn't getting anything. He was a first round pick. And how, like, that's I'm going to remind myself next year when I start reading about the hype about some of these guys, that Van Jefferson over Justin Jefferson prediction.
You should. But I always look forward to that. You know, one of these predictions will be wrong. You've given yourself the free score.
And that one's always right. Yeah, it's always right. But it's tough. You know, I mean, Barkley will be a top five back. Beckham will be a top five receiver, all this stuff. I mean, there's going to be taking a lot of L's in this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I may disallow you from using OBJ in your predictions article in future years after this, but we'll see.
I'm going to do it next year.
All right. Want to thank everybody for listening to us all season long and watching us on YouTube too, as well. We're still doing the XM show. In fact, we'll be doing that in about 30 minutes here. But please subscribe, rate, and review. We got Mario and John are going to be going all season long. We'll have our full crew for the rest of this week. We got Jake and Joe tomorrow. Thanks again for listening to us all season long. Good luck if you've got something at stake tonight in your championship game or in week 17. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.